Of putting this race that we're in, you know, we're all runners. If we've accepted Christ, we're running this race of faith, but it's not a kind of a sprint. It's not a single one-man race. It's a multiple-person race. It's a relay race, and we have to hand off to other people, and we have to intentionally do that. These passages in Hebrews really aren't about running the race a whole lot. They're more about exhortation, about perseverance, about standing firm till the end. But there's an aspect of it that I think as a church, as people, not just this church, every church, we struggle with. And we can exhort people, you know, to use their gifts. We can exhort people to step into a calling that God has done. But where we start to struggle is when we're supposed to hand off to that next group. We don't exhort them very well. We usually tend to kind of hold on to it like my daughter did to her money when it was time to pay for the car. We don't really want to let go of that. We don't want to move past the leg that we're on. We don't want to hand off to the next runner. So as we study these verses, we'll kind of take both looks at it a little bit. I mean, we all want to finish the race well. We all want to hear that good and faithful servant from God. We all want to hear that. But there's an aspect of that where we have to remember that if we want to be that good and faithful servant, we need to intentionally be setting our mind on handing it to someone else. Now, this church will likely outlast all of us. And we need to be prepared to hand it off to the next generation. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll get into our message. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you for those that have come out. I thank you for those that are tuning in online. But Lord, I pray that in the message today, we begin to understand that we're a part of something bigger than a one-man race or a one-man show. Help us, Lord, to exhort one another, not just during our journey, but when it's time to hand off in that journey. Help us to be as faithful about proclaiming this part of our journey as we are any other part of our journey. Lord, just be with us today. Open our hearts and minds. Help us to glorify you in the things that we study today, and help us, Lord, to know you more and to know more about your plan for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hebrews 3:12-14 says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For if we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm, to the end." Now, this passage does speak about the fact that we're all running this race of faith together, and sometimes in our midst there are going to be people that are going to be kind of Christian in name only. Well, you know, they're the first time persecution or something comes, difficulty comes, they fall away, they disappear from the faith. Doesn't mean they've lost their salvation. It means they never had it to begin with. They were here because, like the runner in the video, they wanted to be on the team. They didn't want to be a real runner. They didn't want to be freed by Christ. They just wanted to be a part of the group. And sometimes we struggle with that just because of our sinful flesh. We love our group. I love you guys. You guys, in many ways, love me. As a result, it becomes difficult when it's time to hand off the baton to someone else. And sometimes we love our things. Sometimes we love our ministries. Sometimes we love our whatever. Whatever it is. We struggle to hand it to the next generation. We struggle to give over control. We struggle to recognize when the end of our leg is. We struggle to do all of those things. But this race of faith is much more than a single race. It is a relay race. And it's not a sprint or a one-man show. Just like on a Sunday morning, this is not a one-man show. There are plenty of people that are involved in the race that occurs on every Sunday morning at 9 or 10:30. Plenty of them. And they have to each hand off at different times to different ways. It's much like a relay race. Rick opens, and then I come up, and then they come back up, and him and his group help us to elevate our worship and our praise. The sound booth is back there, punching the mute and unmute at the right times and the right times, and getting everybody on at the right time. Our computer guys are making sure that it's actually online or that you can see the slides up on the screen. It's a relay race. Each person has their leg. And each one of us has to be good at handing it over. Imagine for a minute if Rick was to get up here on a Sunday morning and just keep right on talking. I know it's happened a couple times. That's okay. But the point is, if he did, he wouldn't hand it off. And as a result, it would just be Rick for an hour, hour and a half. Imagine how horrendous that would be. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I teased somebody the other day that this is a baton for a relay race. It's going to be a prop we'll look at today. But I teased them that I could use it to beat Rick with if I needed to. And that tells you how much I miss him, because I'm going to miss him because I keep talking about him. But the fact of the matter is, we all are involved in a relay race in one way or another. And this race of faith is not about you. It's not about me. And if we start thinking it is, we won't hand off to the next group. It'll be ours. We'll keep it. And what will happen is, sinfulness will harden our heart. And we will be in just as much danger as the people in this passage were. Basically, he's writing to Jews that would be tempted to deny Christ to escape persecution. They would be tempted to deny him in that. But sometimes in us, we can do the same thing. You know, we're supposed to love our neighbor. We're supposed to exhort one another. We're supposed to edify and build up the body. But we just don't want to let go of the money for the car or pass the baton to the next generation or to the next pastor or to the next whatever. That's why that's important. And it's important because Scripture reminds us that we have a responsibility to pass along this kind of oral tradition. In Judaism, they passed it along one generation to another. That's why Psalms 145:4 says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." This is a passage that talks about this handing down of what God has done. You know, sometimes that we advocate that responsibility. We say, well, a Sunday school teacher will tell our kids what God has done. You know, I grew up in a unique environment to some here today. I mean, some of you came to faith later in life. I did as well. I grew up in a home where probably, I would venture to guess that most everybody in my home would have said they were Christian most of my life. But I don't ever remember one story from my childhood where God did something in their life. Not one. You want a test about how well you're doing about handing the baton to the next generation? Go home and ask your kids how you got saved. How did God change your life? About how you stepped in to the call that God had on your life. Because, you know, Bible stories are wonderful. But God doesn't, your kids don't know Noah. They know you. Noah's a story to them. What makes it real is that you have talked about what God has done in your life, and now they can believe in Noah. Otherwise, you're just reading stories. Becomes very difficult. We're supposed to be handing this baton to the generations behind us. And the way we do that is by talking about what God has actually done for us. We commend his works one to another. What does that mean to me? Well, it means that I tell my kids and that they can relay the stories. That they can talk about the change that occurred in my wife and how that impacted me, how I ultimately came to faith and then answered the call to ministry. It means that there's the ability for them to recite those stories because they're real to them. They look at them. They see them. They experience them walking with me. And that's important because we are all running this race of faith. We all are. Every single one of us is running it. We are running it together, and we're supposed to run it with a certain goal in mind. When Hebrews 12:1 tells us, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight of sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." It means that we regard the things of God as more important than the things of the world. That we're as much or more interested in telling our kids how to navigate the world according to God's standards as we are teaching them how to balance a checkbook or buy a house or finance a car. We're running this race of faith. Sometimes we have to throw off what clings so closely. Let us run with endurance. Because in the passage earlier in Hebrews 3, when he's exhorting, he's saying, exhort one another so that you're not tempted to deny Christ when persecution comes. So you're not tempted to fall away when troubles come. It's the same thing he's talking about here. The sins of the world, the pressures of the world, the way the world would have us run this race is that you would run it like a sprinter. If you've ever watched a sprint, they run. They run and run and run, and then right at the end they lean. The whole goal is to beat the person beside them to the finish line. And if we're not careful, even in a body of believers, we'll run the race that way. Like the goal is to somehow just beat you to the finish line. That is not the goal. My goal is not to beat you to the finish line or for you to beat the other person to the finish line. This is not that type of race. Yes, we run as one seeking to win the prize. Yes, we don't beat the air aimlessly, but we also love our brothers and sisters. We exhort them on in the faith. We all want to make it to the end. We all want to hear that good and faithful servant. We all want to hear that. We have to remember that this race is the advance of the gospel and not the advance of ourselves. Too many times when we do ask our kids about the stories of us growing up, they're going to tell us stories about how we overcame things, not God. About how we pulled ourselves up by the bootstraps, how we built a church, how we did these things. If we're going to exhort one another, we have to do it based off of what God has done and not off of what we have done. Because what I do will fail. What God does won't. Psalms 96:3 says, "Declare His glory among the nation, His marvelous works among all peoples." We have to set ourselves and even our own desires aside for the betterment of the gospel. If we continue to run it as if our works are what matter most, we will always lean for the win. If you've ever watched a relay race, I started watching them, and as I was researching for this message, and there's a lot of science that goes into relay racing. For one, sometimes you have people that are really good at handing the baton, but they're not very good at receiving the baton. So you put them first. Because all I have to do is hand it off. They don't have to reach back and grab it. Then sometimes there's people in the midst of that are in the middle somewhere that are good at both things, but one of them might run a really fast leg, one of them might run a little slower leg. And then you have an anchor who's kind of the person that's supposed to bring it home because all they're going to do is grab it and run to the end. But in all of those instances, there has to be smooth handoffs, each one, or the race is going to be lost. Each one, both parties need to be running when the exchange happens, or the race is going to be lost. And the only way that it happens where we're both running and we can both hand it off is when we're both being very selfless in the transaction. Sometimes this is the hardest thing to do in a group, and that's partially because not all of us are easy to get along with. Not all of us are good at handing it off, and not all of us are good at taking it. Some of us would much rather get it at a dead run, and some of us would much rather just meander by and pick it up one day. Different approaches to it. So it makes it not so easy to do when everybody is together, which is why he tells them to exhort one another. Because we're going to need each other. We all need each other to prop each other up, to exhort one another, to continue to run the race, to run your leg of the race. You run the race well because you run it together with other believers. Sometimes it might be hard to believe that. But the reason why you're running your race now is because of other believers that are helping you run your race. That are helping you get through. That are teaching the Sunday school or doing the prayer requests or whatever. In some way helping you. That's why Scripture tells us that iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. Because we need each other. It's even why Paul elaborates in Romans 12:4-5 and says, "For as in one body we may have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Because each of us are different. Some of us are gifted different. Some of us are talented in different ways. Some of us look different, smell different, walk different, talk different. But it doesn't matter. We're still a part of this body of Christ. And the hands can still celebrate the feet. And feet can still celebrate hands. And ears can celebrate eyes. And eyes can celebrate ears. And we can learn to hand the baton. You know, no matter what generation we are, one of the beauties of this church, one of the reasons why I firmly believe this is one of the healthiest churches around is because of the fact that we have people in this room and in this church of every age group imaginable. Every one of them. From 80, 90 years old all the way down to babies in the nursery. And we have a very even divide of our age groups. You know what's a miraculous thing, whether you're 80 or 90 years old or whether you're in the nursery right now, is that you are going to do it different than the generation before you, and the generation after you will do it different than you. And you have to be willing to hand the baton to them regardless of the difference. Because maybe you were ears, but they're eyes. Maybe their eyes, and the next generation will be feet. We're all a part of that body, though. And we have to learn to hand that off. We were at a meeting last night, or get-together, of myself, Mark, and Rick, and our wives, and Teresa. We were playing a skip bow, which I had never played before. But in the midst of that, we had a conversation about this exact thing, about how churches have to get good at handing it to the next generation. You know, I had a perfect example for me of that was when we were in Reedy, West Virginia. We were planting a church there. If you know where Reedy is, you know there's just not very many people there. And we had, at one point, 104 people attending our church, and there was 200 people that lived there. But when we first got down there, there was 16 youth and 6 adults. And I remember early in being called to ministry, praying to God, don't make me a youth pastor. And the first church that I'm at, I have 16 youth and 6 adults. You're a youth pastor, whether you want to be or not. And I said, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to play music-wise? And they got a boombox out, and they put on Skillet. And I don't know if you've heard Skillet or not. If you haven't, go home, Google it. It'll be an enlightening thing for you. You'll have the spirit when you quit listening to it, or maybe to run over and hit the button to quit listening to it, whichever way. But I thought to myself, how am I going to worship to Skillet? And then I saw these kids jumping up and down, praising God and to Skillet. And I realized that I could praise God because they were praising God through Skillet, whether I liked the music or not. That's one way we can usually tell if we're doing a good job of handing the baton is whether or not we still think they should be doing it our way. If they are, you're holding on to the baton, but you're not passing it. They will do it different. The generation that's sitting right up here, there's several of them right here in these couple of rows, they're going to do it different. They already do it different than we do. Now, they think differently than we do about it because they've had different experiences with it than we do. I mean, my daughter never experienced life without a cell phone. As a result, everything she does centers around some kind of digital transmission of information. Because she never experienced anything other than that. It's not wrong. It's just different. We know that there will be different people from different backgrounds. It's going to happen. The next person who becomes the pastor at this church may be very different than me. But it doesn't make him better, worse. It just makes him different. Maybe he's hands where I was feet, or maybe he's feet where I was hands. When you hand over the ministry you're in, which you will hand over the ministry you're in, the person that comes after you won't be better than you. They'll be different than you. And somewhere along the line, we have to be okay with that. That when we hand it to that next generation, they're going to do something different with it than we did. And it's okay. Because we have to remember that this right now is our time, but it won't be our time for all time. None of us are going to last forever here. We have something greater ahead of us, but it's not our time for all time. This race is a relay race. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." The reason why those verses are important to me is because it speaks of discipleship. That we as believers are to be growing in our faith and trust and knowledge of God. And we're supposed to be helping that next generation to do the exact same thing. I don't know if you guys ever watch it, but Fixer Upper, Chip and Joanna Gaines. And you watch other ones too. You see the same thing. sometimes. Sometimes you see a house, it's been well maintained, it just needs new walls. And the walls need taken down or this or that, but it's overall a pretty well maintained home. They're just going to do something different with it. They're going to decorate it differently. And that's one way that that house transforms. But then there's other ones where you can tell that the person in the house prior to that went, somebody else can deal with this. And they didn't do anything with it. And we have to be careful that we're not those people. That we're not leaving things for the next generation to pick up and correct that we could have done. That we're not growing in Christ in such a way that when we do hand the baton, they can run with it. They don't have to stumble over our stuff. They just run. If you ever watched a relay race, you run to a point, you hand it off to someone else, and they run away from you. And the next generation is going to do that when we hand the baton. But if the race is about the advancement of the gospel, then we will celebrate them running so far ahead. If it's about preservation of the things we've done, we'll be aggravated, disgruntled, bitter about the fact that they run away from us. The way that we get good at handing this baton, the way we get good at exhorting one another on, even to the point of handing over from one person to another or from one generation to another, is to remember that the same way that we started this series in Hebrews, that Jesus is greater. He's greater than one person. He's greater than any one group of people. It's like I told Carmen the other day, you know, we're leaving a church where we have 20 years worth of relationships with people here. Friendships that mean a tremendous amount to both of us. And we're going to go to a new place and we're going to walk into that place, and you know what's going to be there? Christians. And sometimes we think that's not what's going to be there. That's what's going to be there. Because this race is about more than us. It's about more than just here. It's about more than just what we have done. Because He is greater than that. The gospel must advance, and it will advance as we learn to exhort the runners and hand off the baton. So let's cheer each other on to the end. Let's be prepared to hand the baton. Let's run the race. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for this group of people. I thank You for the race, the leg of the race that we have run together. But Lord, this race is not over. And help us, Lord, to be prepared to hand the baton in a way that lets the other run. Thank You, Lord, for surrounding us with other believers who exhort us, who edify us, who lift us up, who build us up. And help us, Lord, to be prepared to do the same for the next generation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have something you need to pray about and you'd like to come up to the altar, you can do that. If you want to come forward and pray with me, you can come forward and do that as well. If you would please stand with me, we're going to go to our time of invitation.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what You want from me. Faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness is what you want from me. Take my heart and fold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, O Lord. Righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness is what you want from me. Take my heart.
Let the song arise.